could the President of the United States be set to visit Northern Ireland? There have been reports over the weekend that Mr. Trump, President Trump, could be making a visit after he was invited by an unnamed major figure within the community, and the visit could be as early as June this year. So, would Donald Trump be welcome in Northern Ireland, is the question. Commentators Frank Shivers and Lata Sharma with us today. Frank, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning. Lata, good morning.
Good morning.
Would he be welcome in Northern Ireland, Lata?
Oh, you know what? See, when you guys called me and told me this, I was just thinking, I just want to put myself under my duvet, pull it over my head and just hope it all goes away. But, you know, it's obvious. We know what Trump's like. There's many, many obvious reasons why he would not be welcome here. For a start, he absolutely loathes Obama so much that he's willing to just... wipe out any trace of anything good that he's done. We know he's a blatant hypocrite on practically everything. We know he has numerous sexual misconduct allegations made against him, and there's Stormy Daniels on the news recently, and another one was Karen McDougall, I think her name was, and she had a 10-month affair with him. We know that he's, chaos in the White House. There's Tillerson and McMaster out, and along with
some of these are some allegations that President Trump denies, by the way.
Well, they're allegations, and of course he's going to deny them. You know, deny is not something new to politicians and people who have been caught out. So, there's a lot of reasons I know why I would not want this man to come to my home. Thankfully, he isn't actually going to come to my home if he actually does come here, which I doubt very much he will. But I think for me, I respect the American people. I don't have to like who is running their country at the moment. He has a period of time where he will be able to run the country. And I imagine if he had his way, he would like to turn into a bit like a Putin or an Erdogan or more recently a Xi.
But He
wants to control for a long period of time. And to me,
All a trade-off, Lata, isn't it? That Northern Ireland could pay many, many millions of pounds and still wouldn't get the profile, the worldwide coverage of our place on the world landscape that would be achieved if the president came here. Like, Northern Ireland would be showcased on every single channel throughout the world, Frank Shivers, right?
Well, you know what? We've been showcased a lot.
I think it's all about personal opinion, and she doesn't like the man. But look, the facts are that he's the President of the United States. He's been voted in by millions of his fellow countrymen to represent America throughout the world.
You do realise his ratings are at like an all-time low of 30%.
Hold on, Lata. Let's then finish.
I don't necessarily agree with a lot of stuff that Trump said, but the facts are that he represents the United States of America. We're in the middle of Brexit. We need to foster great relationships with massive countries like America.
I agree with you there, Frank. I'm not going to disagree with you on that, but what I am saying is I stand by the American people, and I stand by people, young people like Naomi Wadler, who was an 11-year-old who spoke at the March for Our Lives. I stand with the likes of Alex Winman, who was one of the organisers for that. I stand by David Hogg. These are people who were all part of it.
But you're being hypocritical, Lana.
No, I'm not. Hold on one minute. I'm not being hypocritical. I am being realistic. You're not the only,
Hold on, you two. Now, I want to be able to hear what you're saying. One second, Lata. Let's let Frank finish, then you can come back. Go on, Frank.
Lata, I think you're being slightly hypocritical in that you say you respect the American people. They elected Trump, whether you like it or not. He's elected as the President of the United States, and he should be treated with the cordial and respect. If he wants to come and visit Northern Ireland, I think it's fantastic.
Well, you know what? You're calling me a bit. You're saying that I'm being hypocritical. I'm being realistic. I don't like the man, right? I don't need to like the man. I didn't like Mugabe. I didn't like a lot of those people. I didn't like Putin. I still don't like Putin. But you know what? I understand the politics. I understand because we live in Northern Ireland. And if there's anybody and any people in the world who understand that we have to deal with people that we don't like, it's this country here. So I'm not saying, what I am saying is that we have to remember and separate the man from the people. Yes, he was voted in by a small margin, I might add. He has now got the lowest ratings of approval ratings ever.
He's still the president of the United States.
But yes, I know he's the president of the United States. And I, you know what? He is going to come. And I feel sorry for the diplomats that have to do this. I'm glad I'm not going to have to be a diplomat. I'm glad that these poor people who are going to have to.
Well, we don't know if he's coming yet, do we?
If he comes, this is what
would it bring, Frank, to Northern Ireland?
It would bring world, as you said, millions and millions of people would see Northern Ireland on the world stage when he's over here. He may be able to contribute, as previous presidents have, in various things that would benefit Northern Ireland, certainly economically, socially.
How would it benefit us socially?
Socially, you know, a visit from a president of the United States, you know, can bring together the community, because we're going to have...
bring together? Trump doesn't bring people
together.
Hold on,
together.
Let's
That's
not his job.
Let's let him finish.
He doesn't care about that.
I think it has the potential to bring together our community. And we've seen when previous presidents and dignitaries from the states have arrived, it's brought together the community. It's also given a massive economic spin-off. But I'm a bit confused by your argument, Lana, because...
Hold on, Lana.
I'm a bit confused by your argument, because one minute you're saying that you respect the American people and the fact that they've elected Trump, and saying that he should come, and in the other way you're saying, no, he shouldn't come because of...
No, I didn't say he shouldn't come. I haven't said he shouldn't come. What I'm saying is the people who have to do that job, the diplomats who have to do that job, if they have to do that, that is part of their job to bring him in, welcome him, etc., etc. I'm not going to welcome him. I'm not going to protest against him. I'm not going to do anything for him. I'm just going to, you know, get on with my life.
You don't welcome the potential benefits of Northern Ireland.
Okay, here's Alan in Carrickfergus. Morning, Alan.
Hello, Stephen.
Go ahead, Alan.
I just wanted to ask Lada something. You said one of the reasons Trump would be unwelcome was because of the factual allegations made against him.
Well, then, that's one of many.
Yeah, no, but you did mention that. Surely then, if you're not being hypocritical, you'd have to say it's unwelcome of Belfast City Council to give Bill Clinton the freedom of Belfast, because he's had far more and far more serious allegations made against him.
I don't even know who that is.
You don't know who Bill Clinton is?
Oh, Bill Clinton. Sorry, I didn't hear you. Sorry, I apologise. Well, Bill Clinton, yes, he had allegations made against him too. Listen, we know
we have to deal
with people that are not always morally, you know, and ethically, you know, holding themselves to the level of respect that they should. We know that. But you know, we still have to get on with dealing with the bigger picture.
All right, let's let Alan speak.
So is he welcome then? Is the freedom of Belfast something that we should be giving to Bill Clinton? Should we be making Bill Clinton welcome?
If it was my decision, I probably wouldn't have given it to him. You know what I mean? But, you know, these things happen above the rest of society's head. The councillors and these politicians go above our heads. They don't even write minutes, for goodness sake, to tell us what they're talking about. So this is nothing new. We can't start complaining about that unless we're prepared to take some action against it ourselves, but they don't tell us. They just do it.
I think, Lana,
did they ask us if we should give this freedom to Bill Clinton? No.
Here's Bill in Belfast. Bill in Belfast. Morning, Bill.
Good morning, Stephen.
Go ahead, Bill.
If I can remember the last time we had a visit from a president in this wee province of ours, when he was addressing a meeting, someone told him to keep his nose out of our affairs and go home.
Yeah.
So I'm sure... Trump's advisor was saying, not the place to go when they wouldn't welcome the last president. You don't bring a president of the United States over to your country and then insult them. So if I was Trump, I wouldn't bother coming.
Frank?
Well, I think, as I say, it should be welcomed. The economic and potential benefits of Northern Ireland are great. And they are a good ally of us in the UK as well. So,
but you were told the last one to go home.
Well, no, we have a habit of not really welcoming some visitors and others we do.
But if you were his advisor, you'd say, you're not a welcome there because they didn't like the last one.
Well, look at the struggle that the UK government are having to deal with since Theresa May offered him a state visit. And now there's all this talk about, you know, there's an be protests on the street and all this sort of thing. But this is all normal stuff, you know, and a natural reaction. You've got women's movements, you've got minority communities, you know, differences being ethnic, social, religious, all these organisations, people are find him abhorrent. And that is fair enough.
Here's
we Finti, have every right to find him abhorrent.
Here's Finti in Belfast.
All I'm saying is I don't have to like it.
My God, Lara, you're very loud. My God. Stephen, listen, why not give the guy a chance? You see if he's coming here. He might bring jobs with him. Not Trump, but do you remember George Bush?
Yes.
When he came here, was it for that? Well, he came here for something. He didn't even bother coming. He parked in the airport for 20 minutes and then got on the plane and took himself off. Do you remember? Why don't you not just give him a chance? You know, he couldn't be any worse than what has came before him. You know?
Yeah.
Listen, it would be remiss of us to talk about Donald Trump and American politics and not talk about the quite incredible scenes that there were at the weekend. It was called the March for Our Lives protest. This is when it's estimated to be 500,000 people came onto the streets in Washington, D.C. For gun control protests. Emma Gonzalez is one of the young people who took to the streets in Washington, D.C. She herself had hidden in the auditorium of her school while Nicholas Cruz, who was the gunman, was firing on her classmates. This was at the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas School on February the 14th. So then fast forward to the weekend, to Saturday, when she stood in front of hundreds of thousands of people and made this speech to students who survived the shootings in Parkland last month.
No one could comprehend the devastating aftermath or how far this would reach or where this would go. For those who still can't comprehend because they refuse to, I'll tell you where it went. Right into the ground, 6 feet deep. 6 minutes and 20 seconds with an AR-15, and my friend Carmen would never complain to me about piano practice. Aaron Feist would never call Kira Miss Sunshine. Alex Schachter would never walk into school with his brother Ryan. Scott Beagle would never joke around with Cameron at camp. Helena Ramsey would never hang out after school with Max. Gina Montalto would never wave to her friend Liam at lunch. Joaquin Oliver would never play basketball with Sam or Dylan. Elena Petty would never. Kara Lugren would never. Chris Hickson would never. Luke Hoyer would never. Marquin Duque Aguiano would never. Peter Wang would never. Alyssa Alhadaf would never. Jamie Guttenberg would never. Meadow Pollock would never. Since the time that I came out here, it has been 6 minutes and 20 seconds. The shooter has ceased shooting and will soon abandon his rifle, blend in with the students as they escape and walk free for an hour before arrest. Fight for your lives before it's someone else's job.
It's not for me, and Finti, I know you're one of our regular callers to the show, it's not for me to comment on the rights or wrongs of gun control, but I think anybody on either side of the debate listening to that speech from that young woman must know that it was a very special moment in Washington, D.C. at the weekend. That's incredibly powerful, do you not think?
I do. I agree with you, Stephen. It's atrocious, you know, and it's awful what's going on there, you know. But that, even before Trump was president, didn't stuff like that happen? You know, I do agree with that, everything that young girl says, and he does need to do something about that. There's no doubt about
it. He really does. He really does.
Doubt about it whatsoever.
There was another young girl, young lady, who came up onto the stage who was the victim of another shooting, and she was physically sick, Latta, on the stage on Saturday. And then you heard, I was broadcasting Five Live over the weekend and heard lots of the coverage of these very, very confident 12,
amazing.
13, 14, 15-year-olds saying, we want change and we're going to get it. Now, this is against, of course, the very powerful NRA, the gun lobby in America.
Well, what was very interesting, I watched a programme over the weekend on CNN, and one of the contributors to it was basically, the first slogan was, thoughts and prayers and all this, and that didn't work. And then there was another slogan. And once the slogan became vote them out, suddenly the senator started to take note. And a young guy by the name of David Hogg, who was also speaking at that rally, he was on that March for Our Lives. And there were millions of people from all over America and beyond who are up and standing up against the NRA. But more importantly, he is standing up to the senators who take their money. And he says, we're going to stand up against both sides, he says, because we want them to not be controlled by the likes of this kind of organisation. They have to be American people first, and then they can do their job as politicians. And it was just incredibly moving. It was a young girl of 11 years old, Naomi Wadler, who spoke with such dignity, such grace.
Sorry.
And I'm thinking, this child can speak and articulate in such a beautiful way and such a simple way and with such innocence and without insulting anybody.
Yeah, I tell you what we'll do, because we're going to move on to other items here. But before the end of the show, we will bring you some of those young people, some of those children and what they said over the weekend, because some of the speeches were incredibly powerful. I don't know why, but American young people, they just seem to be so articulate and confident about expressing themselves. Latta, thank you for your time today. Frank, thank you.